Good morning, all. Marty, we don't mind you missing verses. It keeps us on our toes. And then I like how we ask for songs in the first service. We say, can we sing this? It's always questionable. Maybe, maybe not. But it's what we do is a joyful noise to the Lord. Thank the Lord for his angels switching at as it goes up. I'm sure it'll be a beautiful sound to God. So we're going to talk a little bit about second chances. I had the pleasure of speaking at Prospect the first Sunday of the year, and we talked about, you know, setting goals and things like that. And has anybody, you don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to, but has anyone set goals for the new year? And if you did, how many have you already broken? So I know most of the time January is the beginning of January, the gyms are hopping and everyone's going. By this time in January, it starts to fizzle back to normal. By next month, it will be back to the normal people for the most part. A couple people will, you know, stay on. But it's very hard to start a good habit, very easy to start a bad habit, right? Let's just read Philippians 2. It was a start in verse 1. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Let's just open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are and all that you've done for us. And we thank you for this time that we could come together and just learn more about you and sing praises to you and make a joyful noise to you. And please let your words be spoken and not mine. And we just thank you again for this time and everyone here. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. So, second chances, right? In the Bible, can we think of anybody that got second chances? I have a few examples here. Jonah. Jonah's one that got second chance. He was supposed to speak to the people of Nineveh. He didn't really want it, and God made something happen, right? He got swallowed by a fish, and then ultimately what happened? He ended up going there anyway, right? We have Peter in the Bible. Peter, for the most part, Peter was pretty good, right? But he ended up denying God, and but then the Lord accepted him back at the Sea of Galilee. Jesus recommissioned him. We have David. David did a couple bad things. He had a rough life, but he did sin. And he committed adultery. And he sent that guy to the front lines. If that's all you knew about David, you would think he was a bad guy. But as we know, like the Psalms and all that that he wrote, and he really struggled, but he did have a good relationship. We have Rahab, a prostitute in Jericho, and Rahab was given a second chance. We have Moses. After killing an Egyptian and fleeing Egypt, Moses was given a second chance, and he did great things, right? He took all the people from Israel. We have Jacob. After lying to his father, Jacob, he received a new name, and God passed on the covenant through him. We have Zacchaeus, a tax collector, who was despised by many, but he was still given a second chance. And then we have the thief on the cross. That's about as close as you get to the end before getting your second chance, right? If we can, let's turn to Luke 15. This is another example of a second chance. Luke 15, verse 11, we'll start in. And this is the parable of the prodigal son. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had, took a journey into the far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was lodging to be fed with the pods and the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, and how many of my father's, this is like him thinking, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion. And he ran and he embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer to be worthy to be called your son. But father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this is my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. So now this talks about the older son, how he feels. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back and safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. And his father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. So that's a big second chance, right? He went and got rid of everything. And I can see where the brother was upset. But should the brother have been upset? Should he have been happy that his brother returned? In life, we go through things similar to this, right? We all have cell phone plans and things like that, and they offer, they're like, new subscribers get a free phone, and you get this amount off your thing. But yet, I've been with the cell phone carrier for 15 years, and I don't get a free phone, right? It happens to us on a daily basis, things like this. And it's frustrating. Or are we happy for that person? Is there a way for us to be happy that the new customer gets a free phone and we don't? It's a tough thing, and you have to humble yourself. Throughout this, we're going to be thinking of how to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. Those things are tough to do. And one of the things is like the son that went and used up his inheritance. He probably had a bad attitude when he was at home in the first place. And then things happened and things kept on happening where he ended up with his inheritance and went off and did his thing, right? But when he had to come back humble. He had to go through the problem and then he came back humbly. He could have just stayed there and died and suffered and hungered. But yet, he did humble himself and go back. Being humble is a tough thing to do. It's not like you could walk around and announce, hey, I'm a humble guy. Then it wouldn't be humble, right? So, looking at these couple of examples and things, what does the Lord want us to do? Does the Lord want us to give other people second chances? Do we deserve a second chance? And when we do get our second chance, how do we approach it? With our goals that we set for the new year, the ones that you messed up or didn't follow through with so far, are you going to go and try that again? Well, here's a new date. It's, January 19th today? Something like that? Are we just starting over the 19th? That we couldn't do the one. And then are we going to start over again when we mess that up? And a lot of our pride kicks in, right? Even with ourselves. So we could be stubborn with ourselves and not want to, well, I messed it up. I'll just try again next year. So now you just give yourself a whole nother year to wait and mess up. Listening to these people and leaders and stuff like that, they say if you don't fail often, you're not trying new stuff enough. So you're going to fail. It's going to happen. But how do you pick yourself up? One of my favorite movies is the Rocky movies. And it was one of the last Rocky movies, and he was sitting there talking to his son out in the street, and he says that life is going to beat you down. It's going to hit you hard, but it's how you get up and keep going forward. You get beat down, you keep moving forward. And thinking of that, I'm thinking with the Lord, when Jesus was here and he had everything against him, you know, like he knew he was going to the cross, and then he went to the mountain and prayed. And he was there knowing it was going to happen. And like that waiting period, I don't know if you've ever had to wait for something, but sometimes that's the toughest part. I remember when our first daughter, she had to go in for surgery like right away. She was, 4 or 5 months old. And she went into surgery, and that surgery wasn't like a super tough surgery, but it was our first child, and it was surgery. And that waiting, it felt like days. And it was a couple of hours, but it felt like days. And that waiting, you get in your own head, and you're just sitting there in your own head. And if you've ever been at work for a long time or done something really boring and you're by yourself and it's just, you get in your own head and you start going over these things, well, I messed this up and I messed that up. And then, or when you're in your own head, do you start talking to God? God gives us second chances and third chances and fourth chances. Do we dwell on the blessings that God gave us, or the times that we messed up, or and then from that, how do we pick ourselves up and continue on? In Galatians, we'll turn to Galatians 6. With verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgressions, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness, keeping watch in yourself, lest you be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. You know, do we ever see somebody struggling? Do we try to help them out? Do we, you know, when you ask somebody how they're doing, do you really want to know how they're doing? Or is it just something you say in passing? In Philippians 3, just a few pages more. We'll start in verse 10. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable unto his death. If by any means I might obtain unto resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended to Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. But even that, verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those which are before. It's easy to dwell on the past and to just get into that slump. Sit on your pity bench. And you have to press forward as the Lord did. You know, he was at the mountain, and then he had to walk through the crowd carrying his cross. And then when he was there, and they put him up on the cross with the nails. And how painful that must have been. And then I don't know if any of you have tried to hammer a nail, but I use nail guns and stuff in my business, so it's very rare for me to actually hit it. But sometimes you miss. And, I know my dad can't hit a nail to save his life. Hit a softball 500 feet, but he can't hit the top of a nail. Yeah. And can you imagine, though, when he's putting in the nails and they missed, and they hit him in his hand or they hit him in his wrist, and how bad that must have hurt. But yet he still did it for us. And he, at any time, he could have taken himself down. He could have stopped that process, but he didn't. You know, one thing with second chances is, you know, we have to learn to give ourselves second chances. How many times do we give somebody else a second chance? He says to forgive how many times? Does anyone know? 70 times 7, yeah, a lot. And he says that number not necessarily, oh, you hit 490, you're done, Tom. Like, it's nobody's going to keep track of that many times that you're forgiving someone, right? You just, well, I forgive him a bunch of times, but you're going to have to do it again. In Matthew, we'll go to Matthew 18, the parable of the unforgiven servant. But this is where it talks about a little bit about that. Then verse 21, Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many times as seven? Jesus said, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with a servant. But it's just over and over that we have to do that. Why does the Lord want us to forgive so many times? The what? Because he forgives us, right? And when we're forgiving someone, there's this message that I listened to a long time ago. It was given by, I would say, he's a manly man, right? He's one of those guys that wants like the end cut of the meat with well done. Like he's one of those guys, and he preached this lesson, and he came out as Rocky Balboa, like to the preach. It was entertaining, informative at the same time. But he talked about, you know, you forgive somebody, and as Christians though, don't get walked all over. So how many times does it say to turn the other cheek? Just once, right? So if someone is talking bad about our God, how many times do you turn the other cheek? Just that one time. You still have to stand up for what is right, but you can still forgive that person. And when you're in the Word and things like that, you will know the times to turn the cheek and when to forgive. So with this... with forgiving, oh, I hit the wrong button. There's a few verses that just go with this. You don't have to turn because I'm going to go through them quick. But Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another, and if one has complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, above all this, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. That's super important. Because if you're doing everything with love, things seem to go smoother. You're not going to forgive somebody truly if you don't love them and show them. Romans 12:9, it says, make love genuine. If you have genuine love, they will see it. With kids and animals, I can tell you, kids can tell you if you really like them or not. You don't have to say anything to them about it, but kids can truly tell if you like kids or don't like kids. I believe dogs know if you truly like dogs and don't like dogs. I remember growing up, one of my best friends, he was scared of dogs. And I was not scared of dogs. And the dog would always growl at him, and he never growled at me. The dog would come up to me wagging his tail, and he would always growl at my friend. And he's like, see, the dogs don't like me. And I was like, well, the dog can tell that you don't like it. And he's like, well, I kind of like him, except he growls at me. And it's just, but they can tell. They know if it's genuine or not. Another verse here, Ephesians 4:32. We know this one. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you. Luke 17:3-4. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. And then Matthew 6, 14 and 15. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive them, forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So that part, if you're going to hold a grudge, God knows that. And he can see your mind and what you're thinking. I was growing up, I always thought, like, how can you control your mind? You know, like, how is that even possible? If someone cuts you off in the driving, you know, what's the first thought that comes to your head? Oh, I'm going to tail this guy until he gets out of my way. Or you give him the benefit of the doubt. Well, maybe he's late for something. Or it's probably a girl driver, so maybe she's late for something. I'm just kidding. Thank you. Lots of forgiveness. So with all these second chances and third chances, you know, how do we move forward and, like, forget about what has happened and move on? And being humans, it's hard to completely forget about something, especially if someone broke trust, because trust is one of those things that it's easy to break, but it's hard to gain, right? It takes time to build up trust, and then it could be broken in an instant. So with these things, remember, act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. You know, what is acting justly? What does it mean to do what is right and fair and to treat people with respect? It can also mean to stand up for what is right and to help those who are vulnerable. Is that something that we do? Is it something that, if we were to make that a goal today, is that something we could do in the future? What does it mean to love mercy? And mercy is, you know, not getting something that you deserve as far as, like, a punishment, right? So to show compassion, forgiveness, or kindness to others. It also means to trust in God's justice and mercy and to respond to others with mercy, even when you haven't been shown mercy. Is that something we could do as a goal right now? And then to walk humbly, to have a humble attitude towards God, or to walk humbly. It's a definition and thing. But, you know, talks about denying yourself, right? Romans 12, 1 and 2, the famous... The famous 12, 1 and 2. I remember when I very first started preaching, I didn't know how to not put this in a message. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, make your bodies a living sacrifice. That means every day living for God. And if you are continually in God's word and have this relationship with God, and you're praying, things will your mind will think different things. You will think differently of others. And we have Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. What are those desires? Are they godly things? Are they worldly things? When we were talking just recently in the break, brothers brought up, was it Jeremiah 18? 29:11. We're going to read it. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. This is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring back to the place from which I sent you into exile. So the Lord right there, for I have plans for you. You know, the Lord has plans for us, whether we see it or not. There's this big picture, and we can't see everything that's going to happen. We don't know why the Lord does what he does, but he has a plan. Even the birds of the air are taken care of, right? And why should we worry? I was listening to some book or something, and they said, you know, worry about the problem that's right in front of you. Because worrying about something that you, it's going to happen in 2 hours from now, you can't help that until 2 hours from now. So worry about what's right in front of you and deal with that situation. You know, what are the plans that God has for us? And if we're not walking with God and doing what God wants us to do, and we don't forgive ourselves, and we don't give ourselves second chances, and we don't give other people second chances, you know, are we messing with his plan at all? Are we taking it upon ourselves to try to change his plan? Ephesians, a little feedback. Ephesians 4, verse 2, or we'll start in verse 1. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were all called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. You know, we have like our real family and a church family, right? And is it easy to forgive our normal family? You know, for the most part, it pretty much is. My teenagers don't think it's easy. You know, she wore my sweater. And the other one's like, oh, she wore my shoes. And they think that's like the end of be all, right? Once they learn real problems in the world, and is it easy to forgive somebody? You know, it really depends on the how bad what happened was. But are we easy to forgive our church family? Is that something easy to do? It should be. Sometimes that's the tough one. What, you know, why is it that when we lash out to people, we lash out to typically the closest person to us? You know, why do we do that? And us being a small church, you know, it's easy to like, well, I didn't like the way Donna cleaned the dishes today. You know, but Donna cleaned the dishes. I didn't have to do it. No. So do we forgive? Do we forget? And then do we move on? If we did talk about somebody, can we go to that person and say, hey, you know, I talked about you. I didn't like the way you washed the dishes, but I told Tom, and I'm sorry. One of our brothers has a bumper sticker that says, God allows U-turns. You know, if you were going in a certain direction, God allows that U-turn. He's like we talk about, he forgives. And he, unlike us, God can forget. So, and then in this Ephesians, it talks about being one body, one spirit. We are together. We are a team. The family is a team. The church family is a team, right? And I remember when I was a kid, we had an unorthodox baseball coach. And he just did everything different than every other coach. And I enjoyed him. I thought he was a good coach. It was Huber. Remember Huber? And he bought us all chains. And there was 12 guys on the team, and he gave us 12 links to a chain. And he said, which link are you, like, on the team? And so, you know, some of the kids said, oh, I'm the end link. And then some kids said, I'm probably, like, this link. And if you were part of a team and you're a link in the chain, which link are you? Are you like one of the middle links that holds everything together? Are you one that latches on to something? Which link is the most important in a chain? All of them. It doesn't matter. Because you will, if you put a lot of tension on that chain, you will find the weakest link really quick. And then when you find that weakest link, what do? You gather up the chain and you reconnect. And then the family just will cover up that weak link. And then it will be a strong chain again. So which link are you in the church family? Are you a middle link? Do you even think of yourself as part of the team or the family or the church family? And then if you do everything and you treat everybody with respect and you act justly, you love mercy and walk humbly, you know, how is that going to progress? Are you going to keep moving forward with those few items, with your few goals? So I just challenge you today, if you had a goal that you broke, give yourself a second chance and try it again. I know, like, when I was courting my wife and I wanted her to go out with me, if I asked only one time, we probably wouldn't be together. And so you got to keep trying, right? You got to keep going for the things that you want. You got to press towards the mark for that prize. And but let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are, all that you've done for us. We thank you for giving us second chances and allowing us to do U-turns. And we just thank you for this time that we can have. Please help that we'll be able to set goals, and if we break them, we just set them again and just continue moving forward for you. And hopefully we keep our mind on you and everything that we do, because we know that you have a plan for us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.